So we're going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, which is very kindly given to us by His Divine Grace. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. We're going to read from the 6th chapter. Oh yeah, can everybody please turn off your cell phones? That was a little reminder there. Okay, this is text 30, a very important text in our Bhagavad Gita here. Yomam pasyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pasyati tasyaham na panasyami sa chamena panasyati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Purport. A person in Krishna consciousness certainly sees Lord Krishna everywhere, and he sees everything in Krishna. Such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of the material nature, but in each and every instance he is conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. Nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the development of love of Krishna, a position transcendental even to material liberation. At this stage of Krishna consciousness, beyond self-realization, the devotee becomes one with Krishna, in the sense that Krishna becomes everything for the devotee, and the devotee becomes full in loving Krishna. An intimate relationship between the Lord and the devotee then exists. In that stage, the living entity can never be annihilated, nor is the personality of Godhead ever out of the sight of the devotee. To merge in Krishna is spiritual annihilation. A devotee takes no such risk. There's a little bit left of this purport, but we'll stop there and maybe continue. Om yanatam anandasya ginanjana salakya chakshu militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha mukham krotu vachalam pangum langhaya tegarin yat kripa taraham vande shri gurum dinatarinam vancha kapati yubhyascha kripa sindhu devacha paritanam pavanevya vaishnavevya onamo jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadara shivasari gaur bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So this process of Krishna consciousness is learning how to see in darkness. This material world is a very dark place. It's called the age of Kali. There's a lot of illusion. Illusion is called in Sanskrit Maya, or that which is not. So to be able to see properly in this age is very difficult, actually. It's very difficult. One has to strive very diligently to be able to see properly. So what does that mean, to see properly? There's a statement in the Vedas, Jnana Chakshus, which means seen with knowledge. So what is this knowledge that is being presented to us by Krishna? That's knowledge of matter, knowledge of spirit, and the controller of both. So this is real knowledge by which we can actually see in this darkness. So what is matter? Matter is that which is temporary. You know, just by the influence, just like by the influence of time, everything in this universe will be destroyed. It's the power of time. But spirit cannot be destroyed. It's eternal. So this is the difference between matter and spirit. And there's a controller of both. And that's Krishna. Can I get a cup of water, please? So, there's a famous philosopher who had some understanding of this. Socrates, he was a very wise person. And simply on his own, without any help from any spiritual master, any Vedic texts, any spiritual wisdom coming from the past, he was able to understand that he's a spirit soul. He's not the material body. So much so that when the government, the democratic government, by the way, put him to death, they said, "So what, do you want to be burned or you want to be buried when you're finished?" He replied, "You'll have to catch me." Because he knew, "I'm not going to die. You think you're going to kill me. You're not going to kill me. I'm going to continue." So very intelligent person. And he had a disciple or student, Plato, who was also very wise. And in one of his books in the Republic, he gives an example of the cave. And this example is very interesting. He gives an example of how there's some men in this cave. And behind them is a fire. But these men are chained, so they can't move right or left. They can't move their head right or left. They're just, all they can see is what's in front of them on the wall in the cave. Right? So they have there's this fire is behind them. And there's some forms that are there in front of the fire that people are moving. So these forms go by. And these men that are in this cave, all they can see is this wall and these shadows going by. And that's all they've seen in their life. And they're thinking, this is reality. And so they're seeing, sometimes they'll see a horse go by or a bird. You know, different forms are going by. And they're deciphering what this is, and they're discussing amongst themselves. And there's a competition about who can guess, you know, what first. You know, but it's all that's there is just shadows. It's not reality. But they're thinking that it's reality. Because that's all they've had experience of. This is their only experience. So they're thinking, this is it. This is real. So one of these persons escapes. He gets out of the cave. Can you take this microphone over here? So one of these persons escapes from the cave and he goes outside. And he sees so much variety. He sees the sun. Imagine how the sun must be very blinding, right? And he sees the trees and he's just like, he's actually afraid. Because he's never seen anything like this before. Fear of the unknown, right? But then he kind of adjusts and he sees actually how beautiful it is. He sees the rivers and the birds and the trees. And he's just like, wow. This is much nicer. This is the actual reality right here. So then he goes back into the cave. And he tells the people that he was with there, you know, this is not reality. There's a whole other world out there. It's amazing. You know, there's trees and there's birds and there's a blue sky and there's a sun and there's this. It's amazing. And they look at him. They think, you're crazy. What are you saying? This is reality. What we see in front of this is reality. What are you talking about? What are you, join some cult or something? So, this is what people are experiencing now. People are thinking that this world, this is reality. But actually, it's just a shadow of reality. There's another world beyond this world where there's no death, where there's no old age, there's no disease, there's no anxiety. Therefore, it's called Vaikuntha. No anxiety. No problems. So many problems in this material world. Therefore, this world is called Kunta. It's a place which is filled with anxiety. So we can get out of this shadow existence. Actually, the goal of life is to get out of this shadow existence, this what we think is reality. And Krishna, he explains in the Bhagavad Gita the process by which one can get out of this shadow, this illusory existence. Vita raga bhaya krodha manmaya pashata. Krishna is being freed of attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me. Many, many persons in the past have become purified by knowledge of me and have attained me. So now we have attachments for things in this world. So we have to understand that these material things are not going to give me real satisfaction because we're spirit. Just like if you try to put oil and water together, it's incompatible. It doesn't work. So we're spirit and we're trying to enjoy matter. But it doesn't work. It'll never work. It's never worked. It'll never happen. We have to connect with Krishna. This is actually the meaning of yoga. This connection with Krishna. So it's not that we want to give up attachment. We want to understand that our real nature is spirit. We're spirit soul. And God is a supreme spirit. And we're meant to have a relationship with Him. So we want to become attached to Krishna. This is good. This is healthy attachment. It's not that attachment is bad. Just like a knife. A knife in the hand of a doctor is good. If he's a good doctor. But the knife in the hand of a murderer, it's not good. So the knife is neutral. So attachment is also neutral. If we're attached to material things, then that will be a cause of bondage. That will keep us in the material world. But if we become attached to Krishna, then we get liberated. We can leave this material existence by becoming attached to Krishna. So how to become attached to Krishna? The big question. We have to learn about Krishna. Yeah. Just like it stated, Bhoktaram Yoga Tapasam. Krishna, he's the enjoyer. Yeah. Now we're acting ourselves kind of like enjoyers. Just like there's a philosophical atheism and there's psychological atheism. Now, philosophical atheism is where one is just thinking, there's no God, or just, everything just came by chance, Big Bang, evolution. This is philosophical atheism. And psychological atheism is where one understands there's a God, but at the same time, he or she wants to subtly have that position of God. In other words, they want to be the enjoyer. They want to be the proprietor. This is my house. This is my wife. This is my money. So actually everything belongs to God. But we think in illusion, in this shadow existence, that certain things are mine. But actually, everything eternally belongs to Krishna. That's a tough one to swallow. That Krishna, he is the proprietor. That he is the enjoyer. And that he's the friend of all living entities. And he's the father. Pitaham Masya Jagato. Now it's very rare that you find a relationship of a father and a son or daughter where they say that their father is also their best friend. Very rare. Especially in the West. In India maybe more often. But in the West, very rare. So this is Krishna. Pitaham Masya Jagato. He's the father of all living entities. And he's our best friend. And there's a name of Krishna that says Kautiki. Kautiki means that Krishna, he has the best sense of humor. Krishna has a good sense of humor. You know, not that he's dry and, you know, boring to be around. No, not at all. Never a dull moment around Krishna. Very exciting person. Krishna is the type of person that once you get to know him, you'll always want to be with him. That's Krishna. And therefore, when Krishna left Vrindavan, when he was on the planet here 5,000 years ago, when he left Vrindavan, the residents were just like completely distraught. They were devastated because they were so happy being with Krishna. And to not be with Krishna, it was painful. Because Krishna is the most wonderful person in existence. So the Bhagavad Gita gives information of Krishna. Pitaham Asya Jagato, Mata, he's also our mother. Our mother is always thinking of our welfare. Right? Mata, Data, he's the maintainer. Krishna is giving us everything that we need. He's given us so much. We take it all for granted. You know, we go to the store and we get our vegetables and we get our fruits. But this is all given to us by Krishna. These wonderful foodstuffs. Krishna has given us air that we're breathing right now. If we didn't have air, we wouldn't be sitting here alive now. Of course, the air is not so good here in LA, but anyway, we're getting by still. So many things Krishna, he's giving us. So he wants to see us happy, actually. And therefore he comes. He comes in many ways. He comes with the instructions. He leaves us the Bhagavad Gita to help guide us. The Bhagavad Gita is a guidebook for the human society. It's a guidebook for how to become happy, how to get free of this reflection in the material world. So by reading the Bhagavad Gita, we can actually see what is reality. We can see that everybody is actually a soul, that we're not the body. With this knowledge. Also in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he says that there's nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Nothing is so sublime and pure as this knowledge. Because this knowledge can liberate us. It can put us on the path out of this darkness. Yeah. Out of this illusion. And we have a lot of faith in our material lives. But what are these material eyes? Someone, you know, you may have 20/20 vision, but if the lights go out in this room, and the lights on the street block go out and there's no light coming in from the windows, you won't even be able to see your hand in front of you. If it becomes pitch black, you can't even see your hand, although you have 20/20 vision. So our eyes are very limited, these material eyes. But we can get spiritual eyes. Just like there's an amazing story of one person, Bilbo Mangala Thakur. He was a very, very wealthy man. But he was very materialistic. Sometimes they go hand in hand together. So he was very materialistic. And a debauchee. Every night he would go and he would see this prostitute. But the Shraddha ceremony had come up. Shraddha ceremony means that the son goes and he offers oblations to his departed father. So it's a very sacred time for many people. They go and they offer prayers and like that for their departed father. So it's supposed to be a night where one is living a pure life. But he couldn't control himself. He had to go see this prostitute. And it was raining. There was thunder and pouring down rain. But he was just out of control. He had to go anyway. So he had to cross a river. But it was pouring down rain. So he couldn't get across. Then he saw something that he thought was a log. So he jumped on this log. Thought it was a log. And he went across. Turns out that it was a corpse floating in the river. He couldn't believe it. Oh my God. Anyway, he went over to where the prostitute's house was. The gate was closed because she thought, oh, he's not going to come in this rain. But he thought, anyway, I can still get there. He's climbing the fence. So he's climbing the fence and he grabs onto what he thought was a vine. It was a snake. So he grabs it and he's, oh my God. So anyway, he gets across and he knocks on the door and she couldn't believe it. She opens the door and she said, I can't believe that you're here. You are so attached. She said, if you were so attached to Krishna as you are to me, you would be a pure devotee. And he was shocked. He was shocked that these words had come from a prostitute. He was stunned. And he turned around and he walked away. And from that moment on, he took Krishna consciousness very seriously. And he became a great devotee, actually. He became a great, famous Vaishnava in our Vaishnava line. So he decided that I have to go to Vrindavan. This is the best place to advance in Krishna consciousness, Vrindavan. So he was very inspired to go to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is considered to be the holiest place. This is where Krishna appeared. So he's going to Vrindavan. And he's just thinking, oh yes, this would be so nice. So somehow, while he's going to Vrindavan, he sees one lady getting water for her household. And somehow, due to past conditioning, he became attracted to this lady. And he followed her to her home. So the wife told the husband, you know, this man is following me. I don't know what his intention is. They could both understand that he was a Brahmana. So the man went outside and he said, is there something I can help you with? He said, I'm attracted to your wife. So he said, you're a Brahmana. You're a respectable person. I'm the householder here. I'm here to please you. You want to enjoy it? You go. Incredible culture. Yeah. So he went in there with the wife. And at that point, he just became disgusted with himself that he had again fallen from his spiritual platform. And he asked the Mataji, please, Mataji, give me your hairpins. So he took her hairpins and he said, these eyes are such a cause of disturbance to my life. He plucked them out. The eyes fell to the ground. Can you imagine? Because his eyes were causing such a disturbance to his spiritual life. Imagine how this lady felt, you know, this lady, this man's eyes were on the ground. My God. Frightful scene. But this shows the devotion of this person. And somehow he got to Vrindavan. And while he's going to Vrindavan, he's chanting all these prayers that he had learned as he was growing up in his spiritual life. And he became so overwhelmed with Krishna consciousness because of his sincerity that Krishna actually appeared before him. He actually appeared before him. And he was saying to Bilvamangala Thakur, oh, why have you come here? What are you doing here? Oh, I've come. Bilvamangala Thakur said, I've come to go to Vrindavan. Can you tell me where is Vrindavan? He said, oh, Baba, you're here. This is Vrindavan right here. Oh, no, you're not telling me the truth. This is Vrindavan. I'm in Vrindavan. He became so happy. So it's amazing. We have many devotees that do this drama. It's the most amazing drama that you'll ever see. So he had no eyes, but he had so much devotion that he could see Krishna. So this is the potency of devotional service, that one can see Krishna with devotion. This is the goal. This is the perfection of the human form of life, is to be able to see Krishna, as it's said here. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So we can see Krishna. Just now we have these cataracts. Yeah. You know, sometimes people get these cataracts, and if the cataracts get so big, you can't see at all. So now we're kind of covered by material desires. Yeah. Krishna says in the Gita, avartam jnanam etena jnanino nityavarayana, that the wise person's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust or material desires. So these material desires is what's covering us so that we can't see Krishna. But this process of hearing Bhagavad Gita, of learning about Krishna, of chanting Hare Krishna, all these things help us remove this cataracts so that we can actually see Krishna. And it is happening. Many devotees are becoming so elevated in Krishna consciousness that they're going back to Godhead. I'll tell you one story which you'll find interesting. I knew of one couple who lived in Miami. Knew them for many years. And they were very nice family. Somehow she got cancer. And devotees were very distraught because she was very dear to all the devotees there. So devotees would go there and have bhajan, try to encourage her in her devotional life. The cancer got to advanced stages, so the devotees heard about this. They had kirtan that night, and they were there for a couple hours. Then it got late, so they left. So just maybe an hour after the devotees left, this lady was in her bed, and her husband was right next to the bed. And she said to her husband, "Do you see him?" And he said, "Do I see who?" And she said, "Krishna. He's standing right in front of me. And he's so beautiful." And then shortly after that, she left her body. Went back to Godhead. So it's happening. This process works. This chanting of Hare Krishna is very powerful. This is the key. This chanting of Hare Krishna is the key to the door to the spiritual world. But there's a way to chant the holy name. Srila Prabhupada gave two instructions. He said, one should chant the holy name like a child crying out to the mother. Just like a child is completely helpless, completely dependent on the mother. So we have to also be dependent on Krishna and cry out to Krishna while we're chanting, please Krishna, help me, purify me so that I can serve you nicely. And he said we should also chant very attentively, hear the holy name. The mind is very flickering. There's a statement in the Bhagavad Gita, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramati bhalavadvidham. Arjuna said to Krishna that I find this mind to be flickering, very difficult to control. It's very strong. And to control it is more difficult than to control the wind. And we all know how strong the wind can be. I spent many years in Miami, and there they have hurricanes. We don't have hurricanes here. But it gets very, very windy. And the wind just destroys homes. So it's very powerful to stop the wind, just like when a hurricane comes to Florida or the East Coast, with all the technology we now have in society, there's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do. When a hurricane comes and it gets close, the instruction is, get out. Everybody, just leave. There's nothing we can do. And therefore you get like a million cars leaving a certain area. You can imagine how crazy it must be. You know? So the wind is very powerful. But Arjuna says it's more powerful. The mind is more powerful than the wind. Very difficult to control. So Krishna, he says in the next verse, he says, undoubtedly, it's true. It's very difficult to control the mind. But it is possible by practice and by detachment. And this is how to control the mind. We have to be determined. This is not, to practice Krishna consciousness should not just be a hobby, something that we do on the side. No. It'll be very, very difficult to perfect this human form of life if we just use our Krishna consciousness as a hobby. No, it's something that has to be very diligently, you know, engaged in. We have to really work hard at getting purified. We have to take shelter of Krishna very sincerely. And God helps those who help themselves. Right? So if we are sincerely trying to advance in Krishna consciousness, then He will help us. Certainly He will help us. Yeah. And this is the real pleasure of the soul, Krishna consciousness. This is what will give us satisfaction. Nothing in this world will give us ultimate satisfaction. But Krishna is also known as the reservoir of pleasure. Pleasure is emanating from Krishna. So the more we practice Krishna consciousness, the more we get close to Krishna, the more we experience happiness. And the more we're attracted to material nature, the more we distance ourselves from Krishna. And therefore we don't experience real bliss, the happiness that we're searching for. So I'll finish this purport, and then we'll ask if there's any questions. This is a verse from the Brahma Samhita, one of our famous texts. Premanjana charita bhakti varo chanena sanktak sadaiva hriyesi vilokiyanti yang syama sundaram achintya gunasvarupam govindamadi purusham tamham vajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who was always seen by the devotee whose eyes are anointed with the pope of love. He is seen in his eternal form as syama sundar, situated within the heart of the devotee. At this stage, Lord Krishna never disappears from the sight of the devotee, nor does a devotee ever lose sight of the Lord. In the case of a yogi who sees the Lord as Paramatma within the heart, the same applies. Such a yogi turns into a pure devotee and cannot bear to live for a moment without seeing the Lord within himself. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Okay. Then we'll end a little early. Take prasad. Hare Krishna.